And we sang just a moment ago, come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted. Let rescue begin. Come find your mercy. O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Amen.
Well, there's a lot of sorrows that come to us in life, and there's a lot of broken hearts and broken lives. And one of the greatest areas where the enemy has wreaked havoc is in the area we're going to discuss this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. As we begin, let me give a bit of a disclaimer. This message will not be politically correct. If you're looking for that, you're obviously in the wrong place. But I hope that it will be biblically correct, because I'm far more concerned with what my Lord thinks of me than what people of this life and this world think of me. Well, we're going to read beginning in verse 24. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. I realize you've been standing and you're tired. You're just ready for a nap. But that time is not yet. We're going to stay strong. We're going to stay strong because we need God's Word. After we've had lunch, it's nap time. Amen? Chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray together. Father, I pray You would bring clarity and light. I pray You would bring truth into our hearts and minds this morning. Father, I pray that You would cleanse and wash by the washing of the water of the Word of God. I pray You would cleanse our hearts and minds of the lies and the deceits that the enemy has tried to place within us. And Father, give us understanding. And Lord, most of all, I pray that, God, You would redeem that which has been lost. Father, I pray You would call back to Yourself in love and in mercy and in kindness every person who has strayed from Your plan, from Your will. Father, reveal Yourself to them this morning. Show them Your great love. And Lord, draw them to Your side. Lord, save those that are lost. Rescue those who need it. And God, touch us all this morning with Your Spirit, Your power. And Father, we bow before You and humbly acknowledge that You are our God. And we worship You We praise You. We adore You. And we obey You. And we thank You now. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The last time we saw what happens, God reveals Himself to all people. Every person has knowledge of God. It comes through nature. It comes through the universe. It comes through the sun, the moon, the stars. It comes through all of God's creation. But man has rejected that knowledge of God, and it leads us somewhere. When we reject the knowledge of God and the understanding of who He is, it leads us into paths that are filled with brokenness and with pain and with all kinds of horrible things that are happening all around us today. They're happening within our own families and some of even of our lives this morning. And yet it's all a part of this whole plan that the enemy has to bring a lie into the culture of our people and to make it into something good, and it isn't. One of the great, but the only way that he was great is he was a great sinner, but one of the men who was at the forefront of the pornography industry said this. He said, "Sex is a biological function like eating and drinking. So let's forget all the prudery about it and do whatever we feel like doing." And that's the message beginning in the 60s. Free sex, free love, you know, just do whatever feels good, and it's all good, it's all fine. The only problem with that is that it's not all good, and it's not all fine. And so this morning we want to see what happens when we begin to reject the knowledge of God. What is going to happen in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our culture? Well, the first thing we see, just back up a verse into verse 23 there, it says that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They changed the glory of God. They took what is glorious and wonderful and they brought it down to the lowest levels. And folks, that's what we see over and over again. People are looking for something to worship. They're looking for something to give their lives to pour themselves into. And whenever we reject the knowledge of God and we do not glorify Him as God, what begins to happen is that we begin to fill that void with substitutes for God. And those are idols. Those are idols. Well, you know, as we look at this, they changed, they exchanged, they took the glory of God which had been revealed to them in the incredible sky of the nighttime, the beautiful nature that we see all around us. They took the glory of the Almighty God, and they didn't want that God. They didn't want there to be a God over them. And so they rejected that knowledge and they instead turned to worship images like they were and like birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know, we still have that expression, don't we? We say someone's a creeper. Well, that was creepy. I mean, there's something within us that knows when something isn't right, when it's sketchy, when it's something's not right. We know it. But folks, that's what people have been doing. They've been turning to the creepy things. They've been turning to the things that are wrong, and they've been putting their focus and their attention on that instead of Almighty God. And here's the problem with that. It leads somewhere. When you exchange the glory of God for the images of animals, and you begin to in any way follow after and worship and bow down or serve or give yourself to man, to your girlfriend, to your husband, to your wife, to your family. When you put anything before God, it becomes an idol. Well, what happened here? Notice verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. The word here is He gave them over. He handed them over. Okay? God handed them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so what happens when we reject the glory of God, we begin to exalt man, we begin to exalt critters? I mean, how many stories have we heard about, animals being more important than people, honestly? But man is the crown of God's creation. Policemen were called this week to a home. The report was that a child had been crying for a long period of time, and they were called to a home. They went and they knocked on the front door, and there was no answer. And so they went around the house and they looked in the backyard with their flashlights, and they saw two children chained up like dogs in the backyard. And where's the outcry about that? But you find some puppy mill out here, you find some person who's abusing animals, and I'm not for that. I think that's deplorable. I think that's awful. But folks, people are more important than animals. And we've exalted animals. We've made something out of an animal that should not be. Well, God, when we make these decisions, here's one of the consequences. When you choose to reject the glory of God and instead to heap glory and praise and honor upon the creation, God gives you over. God hands you over. And He says, well, all right, if that's the way you want it, if that's what you're after, so be it. And verse 24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, the desires of their own hearts. And what we see here is a turning to sexual immorality. All right, across the community, across the board. And this morning, I want to make sure you understand this. When I talk about sexual immorality here, I'm not talking about gay or straight or crooked or anything else. It's all sin when it's outside of marriage. Okay? So I'm not picking on this group or that one or somebody else or something here. I want to pick on everybody this morning. Some of you are not sure about this. Well, they changed the glory of God, and they began to seek after the created things that God had made. And then notice the next one here. In verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And in the original language, it's into the lie. It's not a lie, it's the lie. What is the lie? The lie is that God is not who He says He is. The Bible is not what it claims to be. Well, it's just written by men. You can't trust it. It's just a myth and fable and saga and legend and you can't trust it. Well, you know what? If one of these Bible stories that we find here is not true from the very beginning, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If from that point forward, if there is one story that's not true, then you can throw the whole thing out. And you should. But folks, what we find here, we find this wonderful evidence that everything that God has said is true. We find here the evidence because You know, this is an amazing book. 40 authors written over 1,500 years time. And yet, when you read it, there is this internal unity. It all fits together. It doesn't contradict or say, well, there's errors in the Bible. And usually when people say that, all you have to do is say, well, just show me one. Hand them your Bible and just say, show me one of those errors you're talking about. I'd like to see it. And they don't know. All they know is what they've heard. All they know is the lie. The lie. The lie. The lie is going out continually. And if the knowledge of God is being given continually, and it is, day by day, uttered speech, Psalm 19 says, every single day the knowledge of God is being conveyed, it's being spoken, it's being in every language, in every race of people, every group of people in the world. At the same time, the lie, the lie, the lie is going out. And the lie is that, well, God is not who He says He is. God is not so great. And He's not that good. The lie is that, well, if God was good, then He wouldn't allow all this evil and suffering. Well, if God was powerful, He could stop all this stuff. And the lie takes many forms and it attacks in many areas. But folks, it's the lie. It attacks the truth of God. Learn to recognize it. When you see that article in the newspaper, when you hear that report, when you see that news program, learn to recognize the lie. Say, well, how do you learn to know what's right, what's true, and from what's wrong? Well, you study what's true. You study what's true. You don't study the falsehood. You study what's true. And that's what they do with the FBI agents who are learning to detect counterfeit money. They don't study counterfeits. They study the real thing. And then when a counterfeit comes across in front of them, they say, oh, no, that's not right. And it'll be the same for us. When you study the Word of God, when you pour God's Word in your heart, your mind, you're going to be so understanding of truth that when the lie is told, something within you is immediately going to throw up a red flag. And you're going to say, whoa, wait a second. No. And if you think that you're not hearing the lie, I'm going to tell you, you are. If you're at work, if you're at school, if you're in college, if you're sometimes in church, you're hearing the lie. I mean, the devil is everywhere. Donald Gray Barnhouse used to say, when you start looking for the devil in the church, you better first of all look behind the pulpit. Well, but it's true. They exchange the truth of God. They changed it into a lie, into the lie. And it says they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. It's sort of like all you grandmas out there. You do something for your grandbabies. And I mean, they are, you know, just the greatest. So, yeah. Okay. I mean, we don't have time to hash out which one is actually the best this morning, okay? So we won't go there. But you do something for them, you buy them a present, and then you give them that present, and boy, they like it, and they're playing with it. But then you notice that they just get so fixated on the present that they don't have time for you now. And when it gets to be a teenager, it takes the forms of, you know, video games and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You buy them something, but then you notice, man, they're all fixated on the stuff I've given them rather than on me. Well, that's the very picture of what we do with God. We get fixated on this stuff, even as Christians. I promise you, there's some churches this morning that are all fixated on God's stuff instead of God. They're more worried about prosperity and blessing than they are about Him. And it's all part of the lie. It's all elevating the things around us instead of elevating the truth of who God is. Well, so here's what happened when man rejected the glory of God and they turned away from the truth of God. They began to seek out their own way and do their own thing. The only problem with that is when you get into these areas specifically that Paul focuses on here of sexual immorality, when you get into those areas, what the world will never tell you is the brokenness that comes when you disobey the Word of God. You know, here's something I think we don't say often enough in church. So listen carefully. God made sex. Did he really say that? We don't have to be embarrassed about sex. God created sex. He made it. And you know what? He made it wonderful. He made it awesome. He made it in a way that is incredible. And it's the most beautiful expression of love and the most powerful moment of intimacy that two people can know. And it's amazing. It's an awesome gift from God. But if you take His awesome gift and you drag it outside the bounds that He has established for it, and you drag it through the muck and the mire and the sin of this world, you'll take something that's beautiful and that's awesome and wonderful, and there's no shame there and there's no embarrassment, but you'll take it and you'll turn it and make it something that is hideous and horrible and hurtful. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I can promise you, what the world doesn't tell you is the broken lives that the lie brings. When you accept what the enemy is selling, when you buy what the enemy is selling, you're going to get shortchanged. Because he'll promise you everything. Oh, you can have it all. I see the letters in the paper sometimes. I don't know, whatever advice columnist is out there today, Dear Abby or whoever it is. And they'll write in and they'll say, I just don't understand. I've been living with my boyfriend now for 3 years, but he doesn't want to get married. Duh. Or another variation, I just don't understand. My girlfriend and I have been living together for X number of years and I just found out she's cheating on me. Well, she's cheating with you. Why would she not cheat on you? And the lie takes a lot of forms. And the lie says, well, you need to kind of experience all these things before marriage so you'll know if you're compatible or not. Folks, it's a lie. It's a lie because you're going outside the bounds. You're breaking God's laws. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And just notice a verse here. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And it's speaking of the marriage bed. Okay? specifically of the sexual act within marriage. All right, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Look, when you break God's laws, do not expect that you're not going to pay the price. And it always carries a price. And because of the nature of sexual sin, it carries a very high price. There are a lot of sins that will just stick to you. Have you ever been in mud that you just couldn't get off? I mean, something that just sticks to you? Just hard to get off. You just rub and scrub and you just can't get it off. That's sexual sin. Sexual sin is something that is, it goes so deep because it's such a deep-seated thing. It's a sin against your own body and against the body of the person you're sinning with. And what it does is it connects you in levels that you should never have been connected. And it's very hard to get out of. It's hard to escape from it. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, what God intended in the beginning was good. He put Adam and Eve in that garden. And He looked at everything He had made and He said, "It is good. It's good, y'all." The only thing He said was not good, you remember? He looked at Adam before He made Eve and He said, "It's not good for man to be alone." And He made a helpmate. He made a companion. And He brought this creature to Adam. And Adam has just gone through the process of naming all those animals. And every one of those animals, you know, there's Mrs. Cow. Oh, there's Mr. Bull. Well, there's a mare. There's a stallion. There's, you know, a male and a female of every kind of critter that God brought before Him. And He named them. And I have to think at some point, I mean, Adam was a sharp guy. Okay? He was smart. And I think it didn't take long before he started connecting. There's Mr. Beaver and Mrs. Beaver. There's Mr. Otter and Mrs. Otter. He started thinking, man, where's something like that for me? I don't have that. And God brought him Eve. And I think when he saw Eve, his eyes lit up. I mean, it was an awesome moment. And God intended it to be. And folks, when you do life God's way, what you'll find is you will be blessed by God in it. Studies have shown, now the world will never tell you this, but they've actually done studies and found that the highest level of sexual satisfaction among people is among folks who are married to one person, one woman, one man, in a committed relationship where they are faithful to each other. They have the highest level of satisfaction. It's not the people out here having one-night stands. It's not the people who are all promiscuous. It's not the people who are doing whatever, whenever, with whoever. So, I just want to say to you, when we think about this whole issue, part of what we need to recognize is the truth of God is being turned into a lie. And part of that truth is that God made you. He created you and He loves you. He loves you. And amen. And He's done this. He's blessed you with some wonderful gifts. And if God blesses you with a mate, well, there's a gift that is incredible. But I want to say to you, do it God's way. Because every time you cut corners, every time you say, well, it won't hurt. We really love each other. We're going to get married. When you cut corners and you disobey the Word of God, you are cutting off the blessing of God from your life. It's kind of that Dear Abby thing. The wife can't understand why her husband would cheat on her. We call it adultery. Even though they cheated together on God before they were married. If you're willing to break God's laws before marriage, why would we think that your husband or your wife would be faithful and keep God's laws after marriage? And folks, a sexual relationship before marriage doesn't prepare you for marriage, it prepares you for divorce. And statistically, that has been shown to be true. And I want to just say to you, don't believe the lie of the enemy, who will do everything he can to put down the truth of God, to exchange the glory of God for some creepy thing, who will take the truth of who God is and the truth of what God's done for us and how much He loves us and how much He wants to bless us. Don't accept the lie. You say, well, preacher, I don't know, I'm kind of in a bad place because I've already accepted that lie. I've already accepted that lie. What do I do? What can I do now? Well, you turn back to the truth. You turn back to the truth. Because here's the good news. God is not mad at you. Have you ever stood in a swift-moving current of a stream? Maybe the White River, Wayne. And you're holding on to a boat, and you're holding it, and you're holding it. Maybe you're pulling it, maybe you're trying. And then after a point, you just let it go. Have you ever just held on to something in the water, and then you just let it go, and you just watch it, and the current just sweeps it away? You know, that's exactly the picture of what God does when He hands us over to our sin. And He says, you know, and there's no joy on His part in it. There's no happiness. There's no delight. God wants you to turn from your sin. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be forgiven. God wants you to be right with Him. But at certain points, God will let go of the rope. And He'll let the current of your sin carry you. And it will sweep you down farther, farther, farther. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you're still alive, there's hope and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. There's forgiveness and there's grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so I want to say to you this morning, God's done a wonderful thing for us, given us a beautiful gift. Respect it. Respect Him by doing it His way. And when you do, you will be blessed. But God will judge. Did you get that a while ago? Hebrews 13:4. God will judge the whoremongers and the adulterers. It's not a term we use a whole lot today. Whoremongers. But that's the truth. We need to have the truth. Now, I've gotten through about one third of my message this morning. So I'm going to save a little bit of it. But folks, we need to understand, because our culture is so sexualized. You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I'm really comfortable with you talking about sex in front of my children. Well, who is talking about sex in front of your children? Are they getting it from the sitcoms? Are they getting it on the internet? They're getting it from their friends. Somebody's talking about it. I promise you. Well, preacher, but I homeschool my kids. I don't care. I don't care. Been there and done that. I know what the world is. And I know what the world does. And the world will find us. And it'll bring the lie right to our door. And a lot of times it's bringing it in on that big 55-inch flat screen that we're all staring at. Well, folks, today the message is not one of condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Jesus came to set you free. And the sexual revolution has not freed anybody. It's bound a lot of people up. It has confused and twisted and destroyed a lot of people. And there's so much hurt and there's so much pain. But I'm thankful this morning that the grace of God brings freedom and it brings joy and it brings peace. And you don't have to live in bondage to sin. You don't have to live in any kind of bondage to sin. If you're a child of God, if you've never been saved, I invite you this morning to open up your heart from your heart and cry out to God and say, oh God, I need you. I'm lost. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't whitewash it. Don't make it something it's not. Put it just like it is and say, God, I am lost and I need you. Save me. I believe you died for me. I receive you. Save me. Tell him from your heart. Cry out to him. Maybe somebody would say, though, Brother Tim, I know I'm saved, but I'm in bondage to something here. I can't seem to get rid of this thing. Well, I'm going to tell you. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I believe that. And I remember in my own life, as a young person, I remember being exposed to pornography for the first time at my grandparents' home. I remember, you know, from there, I remember all those little instances and episodes and ways that the enemy planted seeds in my mind and tried to fill my heart with stuff. And honestly, when I came to Christ, God gave me a wonderful, wonderful victory in that area. You say, oh, well, you don't have to worry about that. No, I still worry about it because I'm still tempted every day. And I've learned I don't click on certain things. I've learned I don't scroll down the page and look at, you know, too far on Fox News. I just get the headlines. I don't go there because I don't need that stuff. I don't need that temptation. I got enough trouble all on my own. I don't need the enemy helping me along here. And I want to tell you, God is able to set you free. God is able to set you free. Let's bow our heads. In this moment, if God's dealing with your heart about something, I want to encourage you to open it up to Him. And if there's something I can pray with you about, I'd be glad to. So, well, preacher, I'm kind of embarrassed about something. Well, I'll just tell you the same thing Brother Ronnie told a little girl one time in counseling. She'd been in trouble. He looked at her and he said, look, the first thing I want to say to you, there's nothing you can tell me that'll make me think any worse of you than I already do. Well, that's kind of humorous, but it's also kind of true. We're dust. We're all sinners. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. And there's no use pretending. And there's no use carrying on and putting on a front. And if you need help, ask for it. Don't sit there and believe the lie. It says God can't rescue you. God can't save you. God can't help you. God can't fix what's wrong in your life because God can. And He wants to. He loves you. He's for you. Father, I pray for every person in this room this morning. I pray, Father, that You would pour out Your presence, Your Spirit, Your power in our hearts and our minds. And God, I pray that You'd give us exactly what we need today. Lord, so that we can experience freedom. We can have the truth instead of the lie. God, reveal the lie to us. Show us that terrible thing that the enemy has done in our life that's led us astray. God, reveal truth. And Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after You. Like that deer that pants for the water, God. Lord, let us hunger and thirst for You. God, forgive us where we've sinned. Lord, save those who are lost. Father, do a mighty work in this place today. Touch my heart and touch every heart today. How we need You, Lord.